Hey guys, welcome to episode 204, Boys of Summer, continuing with the wonderful Mark McConville. I hope you guys enjoy the episode. I am, of course, still here in Atlanta. And just a couple of shout outs. I wanted to thank Ken and Andrea for your emails, Holly for your very generous donation. Thank you so much. And I guess that's it, guys. I'm just a little scattered because I am. Listen, I've been doing a lot of really exciting sheriff stuff. There's a new sheriff in town, and she's on the IFC show Stand Against Evil. As you know, that is what I'm up to right now, and I'm so excited about it, but it's definitely sort of consuming my world. So I hope you enjoy the episode, and I will talk to you soon.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
And so with that, the podcast has begun.
I love it.
Yeah, it's happened. And are you enjoying my couch? Please don't get anything on my couch.
Oh, I just have water. Can I get water on your couch? I won't. All right.
It might mar the weft of the velvet. Is that a thing?
Yep.
Weft?
Weft.
Is that right?
Or is it weft? I don't know. It could.
Terrible.
It does have a real sort of like feel sheen to
it. Yeah. Listen, the reason I got to talk about this is because, of course, the only important topic on the podcast is my couch. And my couch has been replaced by a new couch.
And this is it. Am I first?
You're the first non-me to sit on this couch. It was delivered yesterday.
All right. It's good. I like it.
Well,
this is the real test, though.
Yeah.
The lean back.
And I think it's good because it's good. Put your feet. You can still sort of either put your feet up on here or I can tuck in and actually kind of get my whole body on the couch.
You're tall.
Yeah.
I'm tall, too. I have a couch in my house that's just too short for me to lay down.
Oh, yeah. You definitely will be able to lay down on
this. My neck will be up a little, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't mind.
The way you did it made it look very, almost like a 40s pinup girl, the way you just
Hello.
Did, which wouldn't be too big of a deal.
Oh, did I leave the door open?
That's right. Oh, this? My boa?
Oh.
Nothing.
No, I figured out how to lay on it.
You have like a special secret?
Yeah, you got to like, you don't want your feet up. Mm-hmm. You want to bend your neck a little bit with a little pillow help.
All right. Some people think that it's healthier for you to have your feet elevated above your heart. Particularly if maybe you've been bit by a snake on your toe. I'm not sure. No, opposite. You don't want the blood to flow to your heart if you have a poisonous bite.
What do you want?
You want someone to
suck paramedic.
The poison. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. I don't know what size couch is appropriate for a snake bite victim.
Probably just a regular. Well, no couch is appropriate. The couch in an ambulance?
That's right.
I've never been in an ambulance.
Oh, the divan in the ambulance. Very fancy.
That would be a fancy ambulance.
Yeah.
If you could fit.
A fancy ambulance. I should go.
A fambulance? No.
I'm going to let you do the rest of the podcast.
No, thank you. I'm going to. Oh, nobody needs that.
Nobody needs that. But anyway, point being, I hope you enjoy the couch. I have a dog that sheds a lot. She's of a light color. Worst mistake of my life ordering that couch.
I thought you were going to say worst mistake of my life getting the dog.
Well, that's a close second. That's a close second. Listen, we can say this about our animals and children.
They don't speak English.
No one else. Well, you haven't met my dog.
Speaks English?
No, she doesn't. Those two things are unconnected.
All right.
God, I have a real case of the giggles, Mark.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I don't think there is either. Why? Do you think there's something wrong with it?
No.
Ugh! Oh, what did I want to bring up? There was a specific thing that
was. We were talking about this couch. Are you done with couch talk?
If you'd ever been bitten by a snake.
Have I ever been bitten?
You probably would have. You would have launched that.
Not a poisonous snake. I think I've been bitten by a snake. Yeah. Yes.
Was it a snake that you didn't know whether it was poisonous or not as it was biting you?
No, I got bit by a snake at my friend Brian's house.
Oh, Brian.
He caught a wild snake and put it in an aquarium.
Nevertheless, it still is wild.
And I think that snake got me. Just from being...
I don't remember if you got bit by a snake.
Well...
You're a badass.
I mean, it was not a huge snake. It was like a foot long. I mean, it was a garter snake.
Like a Subway sandwich snake.
I could never eat the whole thing in one sitting. No, but it was it would sort of like crawl on you if you put you could hold it, but I think it just got me once. Mm. That seems right. And I remember being like, that snake bit me. And then I was like, that was not a big deal.
Oh, okay. So it was more like if someone's hamster bites you or if someone's parrot bites you.
Yes.
I'm acting like those things have happened to me. I don't think that I've been bit that many times.
I would
times
think a parrot bite pets, might hurt more.
Probably would.
I think a parrot would really get you.
And they mean it. They seem like they're out for revenge, kind of.
Do you know they're going to be here longer than us? Do you
that
know about
gonna
this?
They're going to outlive
us? Parrots live a long time.
They live a really long time. At least one episode, birds were discussed. Kathleen Rose Perkins, who is a wonderful person mm-hmm. from the show Episodes, she has parrots.
Okay.
And you know what I'm remembering? First of all, that is true. She's a bird person.
Yeah.
We discussed birds at length on that episode. But I just transferred my memory of either a Radiolab or a This American Life episode I listened to mm-hmm. and went ahead and made it my own podcast.
Easy to do.
I was going to say, and one of my guests inherited a parrot into her family from her mother because her mother passed away and the parrot was part of the will.
That's that This American
definitely
Life.
Definitely not someone I know personally.
No, but I was looking into parrots because I thought like I don't have any pets.
Parrot guy with a parrot on your shoulder.
I wasn't. I mean, I spent about 5 minutes going, would I like to have a bird? Maybe a bird would be fun.
Yeah.
And I was like, parrots seem cool.
Yeah.
And then the very first thing I think I learned was like they can live 100 or more years.
So
and I was like,
crazy.
Well, I don't need that. What's going to happen when I'm gone?
That parrot, first of all, is going to try to off you because it's going to inherit all of your stuff if you die first.
Yeah.
It's like an evil spouse that is only in it for the money.
Nobody needs that.
Nobody needs that.
Nobody needs a lot of things. I find I'm saying that a lot. Nobody needs that.
Well, I think that what you're doing is you're trimming down. You're sparing. You're being more spare and industrious in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting rid of that. You're cutting the fat. You're eliminating the slack. You're what's that? There was a thing that everyone, there was a book people were reading.
It's the Marie Kondo book.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
The sort of get rid of everything book.
It's, I started and stopped it a few times,
mm-hmm.
but I
was any of those times that you stopped it to go look into parrots.
But all of the times I read that, I started reading it because I could use a little bit of that.
Okay,
I'm not good with clutter, but I look through my closet. This is really where it comes from. Is I don't know, I can't remember what it's called, but a friend of mine in college used to do this thing where he wore black t-shirts and
mm-hmm.
jeans
mm-hmm.
and boots, and that's all. I think he had a suit because of his work. He needed occasionally to go to a fancy meeting.
Yeah,
and then he had winter clothes, but it was always like a hoodie mm-hmm. that he could just wear. But it was just a uniform.
His uniform, yeah.
And I thought it was kind of weird back then.
Yeah,
but now I start to go like, that'd be nice. Like,
yeah.
I kind of do it anyway already, but
you
I have
think?
Not.
I feel you're so naturally dressed whenever I see you and not in a, like, oh, his thing that he always wears kind of.
Right. Way. Well, I do try to change it up, but we see each other on dressy
That's
occasions.
True. I usually see you for thrilling.
On the every day, it's like pocket t-shirt and a nice, comfortable pair of pants is all I ever want to wear.
Yeah. That's not untrue for me.
Right.
I mean, think that is not my uniform, but my uniform is more like, it's even slovier than that. It's like, oh, this t-shirt shapeless dress is a cute fabric, so mm-hmm. I can sort of look like I put myself together, even though I'm wearing pajamas, essentially.
Right. But I don't know why it is that I'll open a drawer and go, not this one. I can't. Why is this still here?
Right.
I'm not going to wear that ever,
right.
But I won't take it out of the drawer.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a little bit of like, boy, if I just picked and went here, these are, it doesn't matter. I can grab something with my eyes closed and still be good. That's what started
me. You don't strike me as a person who would be, I mean, I don't know who you would line up. If you lined up our mutual friends, I don't know that from a lineup I could say slob, clutter, too spare, you know, too minimalist, just right. I don't know that you can tell by looking, but that said, I would never look at you and think, oh, he seems like he probably has too much clutter in his life.
Well,
for one
I think
thing,
it started with
you shave your head.
That's true. Well, if I don't do that, then there's problems.
Hmm.
But
I've seen pictures of you with long hair from high school now.
Oh, man.
I don't even know where to start with those pictures.
Janet, it's like a lifetime away. It
mm-hmm.
truly is.
Do you look at that and go, that looks like a relative of mine? Or do you totally bounce back and connect with exactly that kid?
no, I know who that is. Do you know? Like, there's no like, remember him? I am still that guy.
I try to give you some sort of weird mental thing where you separated at some point in your life and lost touch with that person, and now you're psychotic. But
I guess, though, in a way, you grow up, right? Like, mm-hmm. in the simplest terms, uh-huh. like that kid is no longer around.
Yeah.
And the world is probably better for it. Or maybe not. I don't know. But like, yeah, I had long hair.
It was shoulder length-ish?
Well, we had many battles in our house about how my hair could be.
And where were these battles taking place geographically?
I grew up in Hudson, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Which is really hard for people to understand, which I don't get. It's on the border of Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Okay.
On the Wisconsin side. But yeah. when you look out my parents' bedroom window, you can see the rolling green hills of Minnesota.
And people can't accept that.
Well, they immediately go like, oh, big Brewers fan. And Milwaukee is like 6 hours from where I grew up. They just, like, people have their thing of Wisconsin and go, this is what Wisconsin is. And it's a big place. It'd be like me saying to you, like, why don't we go to Oakland this afternoon?
Right.
And
right.
you would know right. that was crazy.
I mean, we could get on a Southwest flight.
I guess we could
flight.
Fly.
Southwest, everybody. Easy does it.
You'd fly from Minneapolis to Milwaukee, I guess.
Yeah. But I bet for that's now to just really get into the logistics of it. We're 20 minutes away from the Burbank Airport. We could get on a very quick puddle jumper flight. It would take an hour and we would be in Oakland because it lands in Oakland. So that's maybe less fair than saying like, let's fly to Carmel. Like a thing that takes more.
Yeah.
Because I bet to the airport from your house was not 20 minutes. It must have been
30.
All right.
Yeah.
See?
No, now that you're saying it, it's like, well, Minneapolis St. Paul Airport is about 30 minutes from where I grew up. And flights are leaving constantly. Yeah, so, yeah.
You're the crazy one.
Never mind. I guess everyone's right.
I had never been to Wisconsin. I finally went this last year. Someone invited me to do a con. And all due respect to the con, which was actually very fun and mm-hmm. strange, but I was told it was in Madison, and I'd heard such great things about Madison, Wisconsin.
I can tell you lots of great things
right?
about Madison.
So I got real excited. So I flew into Madison-ish, mm-hmm. however far away that airport is.
It's a weird airport.
And so it wasn't even really that close to Madison.
It's probably Dane County Municipal yeah. Airport or something like that.
Honestly, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then got into a van and then was taken like 3 hours away from Madison to the water park resort capital mm-hmm.
You were in the poor man's Branson, Wisconsin
yes.
Dells.
Yeah, I was in Wisconsin Dells.
Yes.
So I can't say that I can tell you.
You were not
where
in Madison.
I
know exactly where you were.
And certainly I can't say like, I get Wisconsin now. I've seen it all. I've seen a lot of indoor water parks.
You have not seen Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin yeah. Dells is very, it's very special. It has its own, that was the jam growing up.
Oh, I bet.
Like, oh, you're going to go down to Noah's Ark, the world's largest water park.
Yeah.
And why someone built that in Wisconsin is beyond me, because you can only go from about mid-May till Labor Day.
But then the ones that are indoors.
That started.
It was snowing hard when I was there. People were taking full advantage. There were kids running around in bathing suits through the hotel, like willy-nilly.
When I went to college, that was like a huge Great Wolf Lodge right off the freeway. It was mm-hmm. like the big indoor. And I remember being like, "That? Why would you want that?"
Uh-huh.
And then realizing like, oh, because all you can do is shovel snow and then do other things with snow and ice, and that's all.
Yeah.
And people miss swimming, so they want to go swimming. I was never a huge swimming guy, so it was never a thing where I went, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because it is sort of the two extremes, right? It's not like, and I don't, offhand, I can't give you examples of the in-between, mm-hmm. but going from it's snowing hard and it's 0 degrees outside into it's a hot, wet water park where you're wearing your trunks.
And it smells like
chlorine. That's sort of like, it is the dead of summer in here. But there isn't really, I feel like there should, I don't know what that in between would be. But do you know what I'm saying? The sort of idea of like
the autumn water park.
I mean, what am I thinking? That it's like a stroll through some fall leaves in a water park, inside a park that's not a water park?
Yeah, there's just like
it just feels like too, it feels like a real sort of like, fuck you, winter.
So are you saying there's like real winter? It's mid-January.
Yeah.
The temperature's below zero.
Yeah.
And then this facility has sort of like an indoor autumn where you can
yes.
Like rake some leaves and have some hot cider. Oh man, it's the greatest.
I mean, you don't have to go all the way to the extreme, which is you're almost naked.
Right.
It could be a nice in between where you just need a denim jacket.
Yeah. Because who needs to go from dead cold to spring break?
I find that overwhelming.
Yeah.
I found it overwhelming.
I would too.
And this is not this podcast is not about me. It secretly is for sure all about me all the time. But so you're fighting with your parents about your shoulder length long hair,
which
may or may not have grown past your shoulders, depending on where this fight is going.
Well, I think too, like I definitely had a mullet. Like, there's no getting around it, because I think my mom sort of had this thing of like, If you grow it in the back, like, I don't want it in your face.
I'll just look at you always from the front. You have to back out of a room.
And I think her solution was like, well, if you have it in a ponytail, at least it's not long in the front. Mm-hmm. Like, she was trying to keep me respectable.
I mean, that's the definition of a mullet, right? Is the sort of business in the front, party in the back.
The old Kentucky waterfall.
That's right.
Yeah. But I didn't, I think I had it, and then I would be like, oh, these short, the front part is short. I'm mad about it.
Was it worth the compromise, you might have thought?
It was bad news.
Yeah. Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have two younger brothers.
Okay, yeah. So you're the eldest, if That's my right. math checks out.
By 5 years.
Okay.
They're 5 and 7 years younger than me.
Okay. Did you have a relationship with them that was positive? Was it acrimonious when you were? I was saying, like, in high school when they were still. Because then you were like, dudes, I'm grown up now. Stop bugging me.
It's weird because my mother showed my wife, we were not married at the time, but like, I think the first time we went back to my folks'
house. Of course, yes.
She whips out the photos.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this, but now I do because I've seen it. She's flipping the pages and going like, here's Mark at Mount Vernon when we went to Washington, D.C. And like, here's Christmas time. And like, I'm happy and I'm smiling. And then the page where my brother comes home, I think it was like that's when Colin was born, and he just was never the same. There's a real like party's over vibe to me at like 5 and 6 and 7 of just like, I had it so good.
Yeah.
And then this guy shows up.
Yeah.
Those two, I think, were closer just by virtue of being 2 years apart.
Yeah.
And yeah, it really was like, there's almost like, you know how Generation X ends and Generation Y starts, and then that next generation, there's like a blurrier thing. I think my brothers definitely fall out of where I am.
That's interesting.
If that makes sense.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They were into,
sort of on the tail end, because I feel like I was too, sort of on the tail end of certain trends and stuff. Like, I can discuss the 80s not as a teenager, but having been a kid who was old enough to desperately want to be a teenager.
Right.
So I sort of have the same memories as someone 6, 7, 8 years older than me. Does that make sense? But then anybody younger than me has no point. Like, they don't really remember the same stuff I do.
Yeah, like, I think about Saved by the Bell, for instance. Like, my brothers watched it.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
Yeah.
There was another one. Oh, Pete and Pete was another one.
Oh,
where, like,
yeah, I totally missed Pete.
They watched Pete and Pete and loved it. There was a few of those, like, live-action Nickelodeon shows and like, shows geared at kids.
Yeah.
But I was too old. Like, I'd watch it and go, like, this isn't funny, or, like, I didn't think it was bad. I didn't think it was good. I just was like, this is for them.
Yeah.
This is not for me.
Yeah.
I go upstairs and listen to Ozzy Osbourne and read Dragonlance novels. What?
Oh.
Yeah, I was reading fantasy books and
that's wonderful.
Dorking it out.
Which one is Dragonlancer?
Dragonlance.
Okay.
If memory serves, is just a bunch of books. It's like a huge series of books.
But it's not, so it's not one author. It's like different authors contributing to the same.
Well, Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman are the original authors. And I guess like they
played. Is that
played,
two women? Just Tracy?
I think Tracy is a man.
Oh, okay. That's funny that
Margaret's
I knew to ask.
Man. No.
Wait.
But
they were doing the reverse of what women authors in like the 16th century did. They felt they had to pretend to be women.
Two men masquerading as women.
Writing fantasy, which at the time probably only young men were reading anyway.
But they played, I guess, like a friend of mine turned me on to them, and he was saying they played role-playing games to develop these storylines.
Oh, wow. That's so improv of them.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's true, but it's certainly like my memory of them is like, oh, yeah, they totally played this out and something went wrong and they wrote it into the story, right? Like, it does have a sort of cool narrative element to it if something happens in a role play that, like, you just would never imagine it yourself, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know how they... Again, it's like, I don't know if this is true or not. I just heard
I love
it about
that it's
those
a
books.
Legend, though.
But right, but there was
almost
like
more fun not to know.
It was almost like the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon, right? You have your Crusader and your Barbarian.
Did you play D&D also?
Late in high school, I did not enough. I did. I did play.
Regrets.
A little bit. Sophomore, junior year in the summers, we would get together and play way too late.
I've never played it, and I have a very fond, wonderful relationship with the Geek and Sundry folk, and they are very, that's sort of that realm is like hipster nerds, and nerds who I'm sure would say they're not hipsters, but.
And definitely non-hipster nerds.
Definitely non-hipster nerds.
Just straight up nerds.
But I guess the people on television, the television shows playing these games would be considered more kind of hipsters or celebrities or whatever. And I have gone and played a couple of different games. And anytime someone assumes like, oh, well, you know, like how in D&D when da-da-da. And I just say, I was never offered that opportunity. It wasn't even like, it wasn't that I, you know, would have shunned it. I had no sense of that being a thing other than maybe it being something referred to that I just didn't even know what it meant.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It would be like... They were speaking a different language.
Right. I think, too, like, my parents probably didn't love that I was playing it because of the Satan stuff. Sure. But I think parents now should know. Like, we were literally just, like, eating some junk food and hanging out in the basement of somebody's house and, like, pretending for hours.
Well, that's my question. And by the way, don't think that it is not on my very high on my list of things to do to pull, for example, you and your wife and Gorley and Lund into one of these things I did recently. But I recently did a murder mystery dinner party.
Oh,
just like the comes right out of a box, just like you do in the 80s when they first, I think, came out and were a thing.
Yeah.
They're horrendously sort of bigoted and racist. There's like a weird the one that we had was called Passion Pistols and Pasta or something, and all the characters are like Marco Roni. Did he kill his father? Pepperoni.
So, oh no.
Of course it was a handful of you know, kind of show busy types, and we were so, it was so ironic that we would sort of drop in and out of it and just have conversations and kind of, you know, and then we'd be like, oh, we should be doing this, we should be talking about who killed who. Was Dungeons and Dragons like that with your friends, where you guys would slip in and out of it, and some one second you'd be talking about some girl at school and then the next second you would kind of dive back in? Or was it just like, we are here to play the game,
straight up games?
Okay.
Like, I don't think most of the people in the room had not thought about girls in the way that you are thinking that they might have thought about girls.
Got it.
But
your pictures, you had a headshot when you were...
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, my childhood is crazy.
It
goes all over the place.
So, yeah,
we're sort of at the end of it all, right?
Yeah.
Like, I grew up playing hockey. Like, I was an athlete.
Wisconsin guys.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad's a huge hockey fan, always has been, and so it's just what you do.
Yeah.
I mean...
But you were good at it.
No. Oh. I was big. Like, I was probably 6 feet tall at 12. Like,
oh,
I was
gosh.
Always pretty big.
Now you were so cute and you were so tall. I bet the girls like me who were tall very quickly and were taller than every single boy probably looked at you and were like, why isn't he... interested?
No, I certainly was interested in girls.
You were not one of the kids who would not have been thinking about girls during the D&D game.
I think during the D&D, it was just like, I kind of saw it as this like fading star of like, I'm not going to be with these guys. Like, this is, I think it was junior year of high school over the summer into senior year. And it was like, I don't really have a lot of responsibilities and this is just fun to do.
Sure.
Like, these are my pals.
Sure.
And that was that. Like, I think there was just a like, this is just a thing we dudes do.
This feels like you need to contact Richard Linklater immediately and have him make a movie about this precious summer between junior and senior year.
We would walk to a grocery store that was way too far to walk to get like you know, Jolt Cola and Mountain Dew and Little Debbie Snapcakes.
Hell yeah, you gotta have your energy to play D&D.
I think I just said Little Debbie Snapcakes. but yeah,
Cakes.
I was playing hockey. I played hockey from like 5 to 14. And then I remember telling my dad, I don't want to play hockey anymore. And just like all of the stomach cramps of nervousness to be like, I can't, I don't know how I'm going to tell him that I don't like the people. I loved hockey. I hated the guys.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
I loved the game. And I just, the people were getting more and more unlike me. Mm-hmm. And all of my friends were doing theater. Like they were all like, we're doing these shows and they're fun. And I was like, I like you guys.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about these guys.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go where you guys are.
Yeah.
So I remember when I told my dad, I was so scared. And then he, in only a way that an adult could do this, immediately he was like, oh, you mean I don't have to drive 6 hours every weekend to some weird hockey rink?
Sure.
And drive back or put you up in a hotel or pay for all the gear?
Yeah.
It's like, you're just going to walk down to that building where they do plays and then that's it. Like, there's no, like, the cost, both time and money. I think my dad was just like, this is great.
Oh, good.
He really was like, that's too bad. I mean, if you don't want to play, you don't want to play. It's fine. And I think, too, like, growing up in it and around it, there were some really successful players, and I just was never going to do it on a level outside of, like, club hockey. I was never going to be on the – I think I missed the high school team my sophomore year and just was like, okay. I'm not good enough. Like, these guys are all really much better than me. I could work every single day and not be as good. They're just naturally better, or something, or like, or I don't want to do the work.
Yeah,
whatever it was. So it was like weird to put a decade of that away.
Yeah.
Right, the good and the bad of hockey was all like, okay.
Yeah, in some ways, it kind of reminds me of like girlfriends of mine who were just super hardcore into ballet, which is a sort of whether or not they were good at it, it was a commitment of skill and practice that I just didn't have.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit with guitar for me for a few years in there. But otherwise, it seemed so foreign to me. It was this idea of like, wow, you're really... And then when they would quit, I think there was that same kind of existential moment of like, huh, yeah, that doesn't do me any good really anymore because
it's
not even something I like anymore.
Yeah, at least, you know, like our family would. We got cable early, early, early on because ESPN had hockey games. And my dad was sort of like, we get to watch almost every night there was a hockey game on during the hockey season. And
whereas for me, again, Arizona, that hockey is
not even
a different planet. I have no...
Yeah.
I have no understanding of it, really. I was shocked when I found out that LA had a hockey team. I was like, wait, really?
Yeah.
That's a thing all the way down
1967.
Here?
1967.
Yeah. So I'm a little slow to catch up with
that's
the idea
right.
That
I mean,
you could play hockey.
It's certainly like, it's the redheaded stepchild of pro sports, I think. I mean, it's so fun. I love it, but I know the game pretty much inside and out.
And also just now having so many Canadians who live here and stuff, who are just obsessed with it. And by the way, you probably would have been right at home playing hockey and doing theater in Canada because I feel like so many of my guy friends are like, oh, yeah, total theater nerd. Oh, yeah, I was the best hockey player on my team.
No, Matt Gourley and I do the Pistol Shrimps radio show, and there's a documentary. And the filmmaker is Canadian, so we met a bunch of these Canadian guys. One of the, like the editor was just like talking to Matt and I. He said, I would just spend all day working on the editing, logging audio, doing the stuff you need to do to make a documentary.
Yeah.
Stuff that I don't understand. I've never made a documentary. And then he's like, but I would always grab something to eat at 6 and head to my hockey games. And I was like, oh, cool. He was like, yeah, I play every night. Like it's...
Wow.
It's a workout and it's fun and it's just a beer league the way people do softball.
Yeah,
And what else do people do? Golf?
Sure. Every night at the end of the day.
I don't like the competition of it all, which is one of the reasons that I was like, I'm not that competitive. Mm-hmm. I don't have it. So
did you get hurt? Was kids hockey as brutal as people talk about professional hockey being?
Well, there's no fighting. Like the second you fight in a youth hockey thing, you're probably not going to play anymore. Mm-hmm. But I think it's like when I was big. And so there's like physical restrictions. Like there's no checking until you're 12 or something like that. And once I could hit guys, that was good. And our coaches were like, it's part of the game, you know, like
that's so crazy.
You were stopping people from trying to go around you.
Yeah.
Like, at, If you can knock them on their butt, you do it.
Yeah.
And I think a guy on our team broke his leg 1 year. Oy, it just, but it was just like a freak thing.
Yeah.
And you know, you'd take a shot to the whatever, to the, but you're wearing armor. Like, that's the other part of hockey. Is
I guess
you
really that's true.
Wearing pads and
maybe more protected than some sports that also involve the sort of body checks that feel like they can spin wildly out of control very quickly. Like,
right.
Once you invite aggression with adrenaline,
yeah,
it feels like, ooh, a lot could go wrong here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think one game, this guy, like, we were just pestering each other and, he checked me, but his stick ended up in my hand.
Uh-oh.
And I remember being like, oh, I have your stick. And I just threw it over the boards. It's like, now you don't have a stick. Like, that was my solution to him. And immediately the referee was like, that's a penalty. You can't interfere. You can't do that to somebody. Uh-huh. You're not allowed to do that.
Like, you were in a sword fight, and you can just sort of...
Yeah, it's like, I've disarmed you, sir.
In D&D, I could...
Yes, I could have parried your attack.
Yeah. Let's get back to what we're really here to talk about, which is Dragonlance. And your headshot.
Oh, man.
Dragonlance... Okay, listen. I get that was... So Dragonlance... Dragonlance was concurrent with D&D, or you were reading Dragonlance all through high school?
I mean, probably, like, junior year, senior year. Just... I was reading... I mean... It's so weird to think about it now where it's like there's so much media that you can just watch anything on your phone, on your computer. But it's like our family had one TV.
Yeah.
I think there was a TV.
So many more books then.
There was a TV in my parents' room, but it got like two channels. So there was no, maybe something was on and you'd be like, can I watch the TV upstairs? And then I think probably in my teenage years, we got a TV in the basement. Talk about Wisconsin, like that finished basement.
Yeah, sure you did.
But we had, we had video games and stuff, but my brothers would typically...
Two of them and they were at an age where they would want to watch the same things.
So right, and I was definitely the sort of odd man out with when it came to stuff, and it would be like, fine, I'll just go up and do my own thing.
Yeah,
and I was playing guitar by then too, so I think a lot of times I would just lock myself in my room and play guitar and just have my own little world.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it electric guitar? Or did you start with classical?
Yes. I don't even remember. I think I borrowed this old like Sears and Roebuck guitar, which I would love to have.
Yeah.
But I think it was somebody from our church was like, I have this old Beater guitar. So I had that. And then I think my mom was a negotiator who was like, if you can get straight A's, we'll buy you a guitar and an amp. And then I did.
That's
was very
a good incentive.
Motivating.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I think I got like... all A's except for one or something like that, but she was just like close enough.
Yeah.
So I got a white Ibanez guitar, a little crate amplifier, and I spent a lot of time. I took piano all through that hockey time too. It was like
you're very musical.
I think my mom especially was very like, you are taking piano lessons.
Did your parents, were they musical people or did they like the idea of you being that way because they weren't?
My mom sings in the church choir. And she can kind of play piano, like, though I've never, as I say that, it's like, I'm not sure I've ever really seen her sit down and really play.
Yeah.
But I think she can sort of plunk out stuff. And I think they were just very keen on me learning piano, but I never took to it. Mm. I still, like, I would love to be able to play piano.
Yeah.
I am very, like, okay, that's a G chord. I can figure stuff out, but I would never want to play in front of people.
Yeah.
Maybe if it was just
I for sure quit piano lessons. Like I had piano lessons early and then just completely gave up and then sought after guitar of my own volition.
Right. Same with me.
Yeah.
So I just was begging for a guitar. My piano teacher's son was like probably 3 years older than me and he had long hair and played guitar and played in all these rock bands. And in hindsight, probably had terrible, terrible musical taste. But he's really the guy that made me go like, I should look into this guitar thing. It seems better for me. It seems like I would like that more.
Yeah.
And I think my parents...
Also just being able to be up in your room and not be downstairs like...
The piano always bothered people.
Yeah.
It was right off the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, my dad would be cooking and be like, okay, have you practiced enough? Like, you know, so it was like, at least with a guitar, I can go up and turn the volume down and get into it. So.
And did you have a sense of like, I mean, I'm definitely going to be able to serenade the ladies.
I guess so. I guess I never really thought of it that way.
Because, some people say like, oh, I totally learned, I wanted to be in a band because I wanted to get girls or I wanted to...
I don't know really what the motivation was, other than like it just seemed
you're allowed
great.
To also just yeah like and like and appreciate it.
I'm allowed.
I don't mean to over psychoanalyze.
No, I do think it was like I just want to learn how to do this because there were people that I liked to be around that played music. Same yeah. with the theater. It was just like I like to be around these people, so I should learn how to do what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so that really was a factor with guitar, where it was like I can play with bands and hang out.
Sure.
And, it was very motivating to me to have that like sort of social part of it too, I guess.
I think that makes sense.
But I was never like an acoustic player. I think my parents, oh, I had an acoustic guitar too after like senior year of high school. I'm terrible with my memory is so Swiss cheesy.
I think you're doing just fine.
But yeah, guitar was definitely like, I like this. How can I do more of this?
Do you feel, and this is always a kind of a clunky question, but do you feel like in high school you were perceived as being part of a certain group? Or do you think people would say like, oh yeah, he was with the cool kids, or, oh, you know, he was kind of friends with everybody, or?
I think in a way, like my senior year, someone who worked on the yearbook said that I got a vote for almost every single category in the like most academic class yeah. clown. Like I got votes all around. Hmm. So I was definitely a decent student. I liked school, but would very much like, was just like, how do I get through this?
Right.
We didn't have a theater department in our school. We had just a choir teacher who would do like show choir.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what she called it? Swing. It was called swing choir.
Swing choir. Okay.
But it's, when I say that, I mean show choir. Yeah. She just called it swing choir for some reason. But there was some,
maybe more,
you know, some Broadway tunes and a little soft step going uh-huh. on. Yeah. So, like
so that, your friends who were off doing, so when you said that you had friends who were getting into theater who weren't playing hockey, where were they doing theater?
We had a local, so we had two things. One was like a local, just theater. Regional theater, I guess you'd say. Mm-hmm. It's called the Phipps Center for the Arts.
Okay.
Every winter, like February, March, they would do a play, like children's theater.
About water parks.
And this woman, June Erdman, who is passed, but she was like the cornerstone of that thing. She would direct the shows, and 70 kids would show up and audition, and she would find 70 parts.
Oh.
Or double cast it.
Okay.
And make the run longer so that
okay.
she could, you know,
Was it all kid productions? It wasn't like, oh, I was doing community theater with, you know, we would do a Christmas Carol with adults and there was two roles for
that people. Did exist, but like that was like, I'm not that good yet. Mm-hmm. Like, let me just be with. So my junior year, we did Aladdin because it was coming off the Disney Aladdin, mm-hmm. but it was like a bastardized, like Jafar was named Jamal. And I remember my friend Brian played the executioner named Chop Chop. And there was a character named Ali Bubba. Oh, so these are, you know you've got a high quality production.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody was like, is the genie going to be funny? And then June was like, no, actually, this girl is playing the genie. And the genie is just very wise. The genie's not like the genie from the movie. So
the genie's not like arguably the best part of the movie.
Yeah. But I played the villain.
Oh, yeah?
It was double Jamal? Cast, and I played Jamal. And it was just really fun, you know? And ridiculous. I wish I had those pictures. I don't have them. My mom has them. But I was wearing this, like, glue-on, thick, pointy beard.
You bet you were.
Just caked-on makeup. Like, who could have possibly thought it was a good idea to be wearing the kinds of makeup that we were wearing? Just ridiculous.
Oh,
like,
that's great.
We didn't look like people anymore.
That's great.
And then my senior year, we did Peter Pan.
Oh, that's fun.
And I played Mr. Darling, but not Captain Hook traditionally.
Oh, sure.
The dad would play Hook. And
that's right.
Oh, because she needed to dole out these parts. So
would you have preferred to play Captain Hook?
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was really fun to play Mr. Darling because it was just like, you're there. And then I think I was recruited to make Fog. Uh-huh. Like, you know, it's just like, okay, if you're sitting around backstage, you can either sit and shut up or you can help.
Yeah.
So like a lot of times, like if you played a small part in act one and you weren't doing anything until the end, they'd go like, hey, can you go like this? Great.
Sure.
Here's a big, huge 55-gallon barrel with a hose coming off of it.
Yeah. Ooh, that would be
a grown-up will put the dry ice in and you go like that. That's your job. And it's like, all right.
See, I think that's cool, and I'm going to dissect this just enough to say I think there are people who would be more concerned with having the most stage time possible rather than the sort of like, oh, and I get to do this other thing too that's behind the scenes that sort of it. I mean, I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Well, so then June also ran this company with a very unfortunate name.
Oh, no.
Which got changed later. Uh-huh. It was called Schizos. Named by kids, so, but it was like, it's hilarious to say it, but it really was like after school special theater. Yeah. It was like teen pregnancy and sketches about like,
so it was like not important modeling
sketches,
stuff.
That hilarious teen pregnancy sketch.
Oh, those Schizos. You never know who they're going
to
be.
Then they changed to the SOS Players. So I spent a lot of time, like summers, and then during the school year, I would get out of my school and drive 6 hours into the middle of Minnesota and do a show. And
with the SOSs.
It was fun. Like I look back at it now as the sort of like very well-meaning. And like as a 17-year-old, I'm having conversations with girls who are like, I saw the eating disorder sketch. I have an eating disorder. I need help.
It's fantastic. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
And the reason that I'm laughing is that when I think about a couple of things I did like that, and I can't remember, I think it was more like someone came into the advanced drama class in high school and said like, listen, we need your help, you guys. We need to put on, we're going to be doing the show. Would you guys mind doing this sketch about teen pregnancy or whatever?
Right.
Sketch. And I just remember being met with like jeers, like ridicule. Like my high school was definitely more of the like, oh, this is absurd. We're not going to be moved by this in any way. Like we can't take this seriously.
This group was interesting because like we would do shows in the Iron Range in northern Minnesota and you'd hear a pin drop the whole show. They'd barely do anything. And I'm realizing now, it was such a good education for my future of performing because I just went, there's no telling what people are going to do.
That's true.
And then you'd come, like, the teen pregnancy sketch was like, the guy was like this cocky, like, the ladies love me. And like, they'd come out and brag. And then the girl would come out and be like, we have to talk. And then, like, on a sitcom at other schools, it'd be like, ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
So it just mattered, like, where you were would determine some of that stuff.
Right.
And like, yeah, of course. The kids would be like, I don't care about this. Like, this is dumb. But a lot of times, like, you'd get past that initial thing. And the show was actually designed by June and some other people to reach out to kids because it was like, would you want to hear a 42-year-old guy out and tell you about the dangers of doing drugs?
Absolutely.
And she had real stories. Like, there were kids in the group that had criminal records or, like, had gotten into trouble. Mm-hmm. And this was like, they were offered, I don't know if they had criminal records, but they had certainly been in trouble. Because I do remember there were some kids that were like, I don't even know where you're from.
Yeah.
And they're being driven in.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is like drama therapy. There was some, I'd look back on it very fondly and I could laugh about it a lot. But there were times where it was just like, this is heavy duty stuff.
Sure.
I'm talking to strangers about their major issues. And like,
like
I was saying before, like this girl had, I'll never forget, this girl's like, I have an eating disorder. I need help. Like, ugh. I can't get around it. I've never told anybody.
That's the thing. This is an enormous cliche, but honestly, if something like that only helps one person, it was worth it, I think. Because I do think that's an age where so many of us are unreachable. We're at our most vulnerable, yet we also have the most, like, clumsy armor on. Like, you can be the most unwilling to look at one part of yourself and be so fearful of, and yet also be a kid like I was who just scribbled in her journal nonstop. And it's so odd to sort of have that self-obsession and still manage to have these just walls up about certain things that, you know, like, if anything pierces that, that's amazing.
Yeah, and this show certainly did. Enough that after I graduated from college, I directed the group.
You did?
For like a year and a half.
Yeah.
Which was cool to see it from another side. Like, I was traveling with the groups and like setting up the shows and being like, all right, guys. And then, you know, they'd do this Q&A afterwards. Like, the show changed over the years, but there was definitely those heavy duty moments where it's like, oh man, somebody out here has been affected by this.
Sure, and sure.
Like, you'd also, too, like, there was a drunk driving thing, and you could tell, like, communities that had been touched by drunk driving mm-hmm. and communities that hadn't.
That's funny you would say that, because I was just thinking as you said that was, I remember, because we'd had a couple of people who were killed, that was a, like, where one thing would elicit giggles, like maybe something about teen sex would just be too uncomfortable right. for kids to deal with, and yet dramatizing something to do with drunk driving, people, as maybe because we had had the mm-hmm. real experience, like, actually did really take that super seriously.
And I think too, the reason that it was effective is kids wrote these mm-hmm. scripts, and kids who had drug problems were like,
yeah,
I had a friend who did, like, this happened to my friend and I don't know how to feel about it. Like, God, now I'm talking about it, I was like, it's still heavy duty, like, yeah. years later.
Yeah.
Well, but that was certainly, like, a huge deal for me to be performing in all kind of, like, I would play lead roles and stuff. I'd play comedic roles. There was just a lot of different parts.
That's what I was going to ask, too, then, is if you kind of had your stuff that you gravitated towards for roles, or if yeah. you really switched it up, and if you got to kind of be
Very ironically, I got to be the drug guy.
Yeah.
I did the drug sketch.
Yeah.
So, why do I keep saying sketch? I guess I don't know what else to call it.
Well, yeah, because I guess you would say scene.
Vignette. I mean, ugh. Yuck.
That's way worse.
But that was too worse. Like, my exposure to improv. We played tons of improv games, and like, that really got me.
Yeah.
And that's where
yeah.
that was certainly born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you did. You started doing more kind of make-em-ups when you were younger.
I guess, like, yeah, my friends and I from that group would drive into Minneapolis and see improv shows.
And there's a lot of really great comedy up in that area.
The theater community's crazy.
Yeah.
I guess, like, I look back on that time and think, I don't know. I didn't know how good I had it, and I really blew it. Like, my musical taste, no. like, what my musical well, yeah, tastes
what
are
was
now.
Your musical taste then? You mentioned metal. Was Ozzy.
It was just like,
straight up.
Well, I did like some hip hop too, mm-hmm. but it was like hip hop and metal.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was very borrowed from everyone around me.
Right. When you would learn how to play songs, I mean, I don't know if you're composing at that point, but
no,
were you learning to play like.
Yeah, like, I did have a huge Stevie Ray Vaughan phase okay. of like, but his songs were just like. Other songs I'd try to learn and be like, this doesn't make sense. And then I'd try to learn his stuff and I could play along to the records. And I was like, all right,
yeah,
like, maybe I can learn this whole record.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying like I was masterfully playing these uh-huh. songs, but it was like, oh, I can dig into this.
Yeah.
Who do you think is calling?
First of all, I feel like this just happened on a recent podcast. I 100% was positive I turned the ringer off. Like, I was holding the phone when you showed up.
To go.
Having turned the ringer off. So I don't know why it's going on. Second of all, no one, except for somehow someone, now that it's the primaries,
oh,
I get nonstop calls that are some serious robos. But so I turned that's the other thing I did. I turned the answering machine off. It's like, answering machine off, check, ringer off, check, cut to 45 minutes into our podcast episode. Ringer, very on. Screw them. Screw those robes. Robes.
Los Robos.
I can't believe how much time has passed. I just freaked out when I saw that it had been 45 minutes.
Oh.
A couple of questions I want to ask. Number one, so really, you do, even when you were learning to play guitar, you weren't like, oh, I'm playing the Beatles, or I'm playing...
I would get guitar magazines mm-hmm. and just go, what songs do I know?
Yeah.
Let me learn them.
Yeah.
And then a lot of just playing along with records.
Mm-hmm.
But the Beatles are... I love the Beatles, but that was not... It's weirdly not part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, I bought the Metallica and Justice for All book and was like, can I learn these songs?
Sure, sure.
And only later in life did I realize, like, that's a very specific way of playing that instrument.
Yeah.
It wasn't until college that I really sort of started playing more strange stuff. And I'm very self-taught, so there's not a lot of theory to it. And I remember this guy Joe that was across the hall from me freshman year. He's one of the best guitar players I've ever met, and he had lessons and could play jazz, and he was turning me on to like jazz records that didn't have any guitar on them.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be like, I play along to this record.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And then of course, like, the Dave Matthews Band was at its apex.
Sure.
And those songs were easy to sort of jam along to. And so, like, jamming became a huge education.
Yeah, yeah. There was a lot of jamming in my college years.
Joe would do a thing, and I'd be like, what's that? And then I'd do a thing, and he'd have that same reaction, and I would just be like, you're so much better than me. Why are you But it just turns out we were both sort of like mining for new stuff.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, you play with playing with people is fantastic because they can show you like, oh, this is a diminished chord, which you've probably seen mm-hmm. on a chart or in a book or something like that. But this is how it works. Mm-hmm. I had a guy show me that once early on, and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, just these light bulb moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't even had that because I couldn't tell you what a diminished chord was.
I bet you know what it is. You just don't know that it's called that.
It could be that. It could be that. Did you ever serenade any girls? And if so, was it with Metallica?
Oh, boy. Did I ever? I'm sure I did. I'm sure.
You had girlfriends in high school.
Yes.
Was the headshot from doing
the headshot that I think I sent you is probably from, it's from Peter. No, it's from Aladdin.
Okay.
Because Peter Pan, I cut all my hair off.
Got it.
I had like a, oh, I did. I had like a Prince Valiant length haircut.
Perfect.
And then once the play was over, I just buzz cut. And that was that. And I never really had a different haircut until my mm-hmm. hair started falling out. And mm-hmm. then I started shaving it.
Get rid of it.
Now it's so great to not have to think about it.
Oh, God. I'm sure.
I'm just like, whoop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you look great.
That headshot, though. Oh.
It's great.
I think we took those in the lobby of the theater. Like some local photographer was like, all right, actors, line up. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to get a shot. And I'm giving you some blue steel.
Oh, big time.
Serious biz.
Big time. You were big timing me. You were big timing me with that look.
That's all I know how to do.
Hey, guess what? I'm young and I'm an actor.
And I'm serenading the ladies with my guitar.
Serenading the ladies with my guitar.
I think you've brought that up now a couple times here. I think for me, it was more like, it was a residual effect of it. Okay. I never sought out to
I'm not saying that, but that was my way because we were talking so much about guitar. That sort of allowed me to shoehorn back in this idea of like how successful you are with the ladies because we really run the gamut with the guests on the podcast. People I would think would have been like hot shit in high school are like, oh, no, and vice versa, you know. So
well, my wife has pointed out to me that I gravitate towards difficult people. And I surround myself. Now, I mean, difficult people might not be the greatest way to describe it, but like headstrong people, and I like opinionated people. And I guess difficult people is a way to say it.
Yeah.
A lot of my best friends over the years have been people that have been very challenging and interesting people. Mm-hmm. But I like that. It drives other people crazy, but I enjoy it. I had a girlfriend all through high school. Until another girl was like, you shouldn't be with her. You should be with me. And I kind of went, yeah, you're probably right. So then I dated that girl for a while and then we broke up and then I met another girl and we dated and then.
But to have a girlfriend continuously through most of high school,
I think the huge error was like my freshman year of college. I skipped kindergarten, so I was young.
Me too.
I was a minor when I got to the University of Wisconsin.
Me too. I graduated at 17.
Okay, yeah. So
and
you
then I was 17 all through my freshman year till the very end. Not the very end.
Where did you go to school?
I went to NAU in Flagstaff, which is a tiny little like hippie school, and then I went to SF State in San Francisco.
Did you ever sing at Black Bart's?
No.
Do you know of Black Bart's?
Yeah. No, I sang at like Hotel New Hampshire. That's just a John Irving book. No, what is the hotel that's up there? It's like a hotel, not Montezuma. Might have been actually Montezuma.
Oh, maybe.
Anyway, yeah. There's like and then just coffee shops. Just I was like cover like playing Sarah McLachlan covers.
Oh yeah, that's the stuff.
Yeah, and then when I got to San Francisco, I was like screw that stuff, and I was in like a real band where I thought like I'm Chrissy Hynde for sure. Yeah.
No, my family went to the Grand Canyon. Not too long ago, a couple of years ago, and we stopped in Flagstaff before, like, we went from Phoenix to Flagstaff, and there was a steakhouse. I remember my mom being like, we'll just go to Applebee's or whatever, and I was like, no.
You're like, hold up, I think there's a place where musical theater majors might have roles as waiters/performers.
Yes, and I will never forget my grandmother's husband. She remarried after my grandfather died. Perry was just like, he would drink Manhattans and, like, the nicest guy. But I remember just... He wanted another drink. He wanted another Manhattan. And our waitress had just gotten up on stage to do like a full Sondheim medley. Uh-huh. And like every song that she would do, she was really good. But like every single time another song would start, he'd just go like, He's getting more and more exhausted by our waitress not being there to get him another drink.
I never did that. I was not in the musical theater world in that way, but tons of my friends were.
I really liked that place. I recommend it.
I'm trying to think if I've actually ever been there. It's possible that I didn't go because when I lived up there, I would have been like, oh, it's going to be too weird because I'm going to see, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they won't be able to concentrate, so I'll just be like snickering or whatever.
I really liked it because it felt so unique. Like, where else would this happen? I guess other places could have it conceivably, but it just seemed like such a strange, like, if you're in the musical theater program, you wait tables at the steakhouse. Yeah. And then you sing songs.
And it was great for them to have this sort of feeder thing that they were like, well, listen, you know, I don't have to worry because I can always get a job at Black Parts or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, it was definitely not. That is kind of lovely to have this sort of community organization that's like, if you're a singer, come to us. We will, you know.
I didn't fully understand the mechanics of it all and the sort of like, did the owner have an affiliation with the school?
I don't think so.
I
think it was one of those symbiotic relationships where two organisms just benefit from one another. Neither is a parasite, you understand.
Right.
They're just living side by side, benefiting from one another, like those little fish who eat off of the large fish.
Are those lampreys?
Ooh, possibly.
Maybe not. Don't quote me on it.
I won't.
No, what I was going to say, when I got to college, I was 17, and it was total culture shock for me, because I just was so young, and I didn't drink, and I didn't. Like, I didn't do drugs. And
what you knew about that stuff was mostly what could go horribly wrong.
Correct.
As taught by the SOSs.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I did have a girlfriend back home my freshman year.
The worst.
What a stupid thing. If you take anything, if I can reach one person on your podcast, it is to say, I know it's going to hurt for a little bit. Because it's about that time, right? It's about that time for you to start thinking about that. If you're a senior in high school and you're about to go away to college, I know you love him or her, but you got to go in. You got to go in a free agent. You just have to. You have to.
I know. I agree.
It was the worst.
I agree. I say I agree like I had that, and I definitely didn't have it, but everyone I knew who did went through it was just awful. Okay, I got to get into this MASH game. I'm very excited about it.
All right, let's do it.
Let's go ahead and do the do-over. Let's say you get to do three. Give me a list of three things that if you could go back and do something differently, you would. Three, what are they?
Freshman year of college.
Got it.
No doubt about it.
Okay. It could be even totally small, too. It could be like, I mean, this is on the tip of my tongue because I ate too much popcorn last week. You know, it could be totally minor or it could be major.
I would marry my wife sooner.
Oh, what a great answer.
I said it on the night we got married to a whole crowd of people and I meant it.
Yeah, that's lovely.
And then I think third, I had a very weird turning point thing happen to me when I was in high school. I wish I would have told my guidance counselor he was full of shit.
Great.
Like, I like where my life is now, and I'm very happy with the choices I've made, but I wanted to build guitars when I was a junior in high school, and there was a program for it, and I was like, that's what I'm going to do. And my guidance counselor went, no, you're not. Your grades are great.
Right.
Why would you go to a trade school? You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Yeah. And I wish there is still a part of me all these years later that wishes I would have went like, what did I just say to you, sir?
Yeah.
I want to do a thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because even if you had gone there and then decided that's not what you wanted, at least it would have been your choice instead of feeling like someone else was like, I know what's best for you.
That happened all the time throughout my high school and even younger. Like, all these times would happen where I would go to an adult for like, I don't know. I know we're running long. I went to this summer camp thing and I took creative writing because I thought that meant font design. I wanted to design fonts. I loved logos and drawing and all of that. And we did a spontaneous stream of consciousness writing exercise down by the river. And I made little bubble letters of just words like river and bubble and tried to make them like look like they were flowing off the page. And when we got back to the classroom, everybody redid their poetry. And I was so crushed. And I remember talking to the teacher afterwards and being like, I thought we were doing like letter design, or I didn't even know what it was called. And I remember the teacher going like, we don't need to do that. We have letters. Like, they were like, we know what letters look like. And now as an adult, I'm like, typography is a huge industry.
Oh, yeah.
People build fonts all the time. Absolutely. For all kinds of stuff. I would have loved...
You were ahead of your time, and you were surrounded by, people who were like, no, these are the rules that we're playing by.
Super well-meaning adults who probably just didn't have the resources to go, that's called typography. Let's get you into it. I think their response was like, I don't know what that is. Go away.
Write a poem.
Oh.
Amazing. Okay. Next one is... let's see. Let's just do three alternate universe careers. Everything is going along swimmingly here in these alternate universes. You have these other career options.
I would NHL player.
Great.
Professional hockey player is on the list.
Love it.
The house pedal steel guitar player for the Grand Ole Opry.
Wonderful. I really should have found a way to make that a shorter answer. This is a small line. Okay, well, hopefully I'll remember what that means.
Some sort of like a ballpark announcer.
Okay, all right.
Like the guy who tells you who's coming up to bat.
Yeah.
Or just, you know.
Yeah.
Tuesday night, back here at the stadium, it's free hat night. I'd like to be that guy.
Now, you may be thinking that means you get a free hat. No, it means we are freeing a series of hats that are in captivity.
If I was like the official voice of the Texas Rangers.
Oh, sure.
Like that'd be...
No, that's great. I don't know how you just came up with that, but I love it. Okay, next one is... I'm going to get this out of the way. This is a MASH game, mansion, apartment, shack, house. It is a... childhood game.
Mm-hmm.
It involves an alternate universe, either sexy times with someone or alternate universe wife/companion. Now, it can be a fictional character from Dragonlance. It can be Mia Farrow, circa Rosemary's Baby.
Yep.
Three.
Okay. Shirley Jones from The Music Man.
Oh, great.
The Sad and Wiser Girl for Me.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Did you know she was pregnant when she was filming that?
No, I didn't.
I watched that. I'd seen it as a kid and I just didn't think about it much. And then I saw it again recently and was like, she's got it going on in this movie. Like, she plays everything perfectly. Like, she's so good in it.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, there's a glow about her. I think I said that to someone and they were like, oh, yeah, she was 4 months
That's
pregnant
so
when she was
cool.
filming that.
That's really interesting. I had no idea. I'm going to have to rewatch it now. I'll tell you who else had a glow. Robert Preston, because he's a glowing, wonderful performer of a man.
He's so good in
that. He's so good. And Victor Victoria. Please tell me you've seen Victor Victoria.
I don't think I have.
Oh, Mark.
I know. I have work to do. I have huge pop culture gaps. We were watching hockey every night.
But that's not really pop culture. I mean, that's a rando Julie Andrews. But it is, she wants to be... a famous singer in, I don't know, the 1920s. Yeah, 1920s Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a beautiful voice, but she can't get a job as a regular female singer. So she hooks up with Robert Preston, who's this amazing, wonderful sort of like Toast of Paris gay character.
Okay.
And I think his name's Toddy. And he turns her into a cross-dresser. Man, it's a woman portraying a man portraying a woman. So she is, no one knows her secret, but so he's brought her in as like, oh, this is Count, what's his name? He's an amazing female impersonator. And so when she looks like a man ish, and then they put her in women's attire and then she sings, everyone's like, she's amazing. It's so brilliant. It's a great, great, great movie.
And it's, I'm sure like that is a premise for a film that can only exist in a time long ago.
Yeah.
They're not making that movie with Jonah Hill.
Yeah. No, they're not.
Right. Emma Stone is not doing a remake of this.
Yeah. I know.
That's probably
absolutely
who it'd
not.
Be, right?
Absolutely not. Yeah. Who would have known? You know, it would probably be.
I don't know.
Like,
I've never seen it.
It would be like Anne Hathaway or someone. You'd be like,
that'd be your go-to.
James Garner plays the love interest. Like, wait, I have feelings for this man. And I'm like a super macho guy.
Now wait, this is like 60s?
It might be like early 80s, to be honest with you.
Oh. But yeah. Even still, like, that's not stuff.
I mean, I don't know when it was written.
That's not stuff might people were older. Dealing with.
I think it was pretty, I remember being like, wow, this is really, like, is everything
we're
like
talking
this?
About gay stuff.
Yeah.
Look
yeah.
at this.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was ahead of its time. Gotta yeah. see it. Shirley Jones.
Is that the only one I have?
That's the only one you listed. I apologize. I really derailed this train.
Oh, man, that's all right. Angela Bassett from What's Love Got to Do with It.
Perfect.
Just because she just looks so fine.
Oh, indeed.
In a way that's
indeed.
Like, you might be an alien lady, and
mm-hmm.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
mm-hmm.
know how you did what you did.
Agreed.
But do it.
Agreed.
And then let's go with the Valkyrie from Gauntlet, the video game.
Okay.
Probably Blue Valkyrie.
Blue Valkyrie.
Because her needs are simple.
Okay.
Blue Valkyrie needs food badly.
Okay.
That's pretty much... She's going to kill...
What kind of food does she eat?
She eats a plate of food that has a drumstick on it and then just some other...
goo?
8-bit goo. Uh-huh. Have you ever played Gauntlet?
No.
Oh, yeah. You just... It's great. A game where you run around a maze and kill skeletons and
that
goblins and stuff
like
that.
Mazes.
And you have a
and
wizard.
Like
you have a wizard, an elf, a warrior, and a Valkyrie.
I like it.
And the Valkyrie's the only girl.
Okay.
And she's, you know, unfair. She's got a sword and a brass bra and she's running around.
Mm-hmm.
But as you play the game, your life meter is ticking down always until yeah. you find these little plates of food.
Okay.
And you just grab them.
Everybody's
but
gotta eat. It's good
at
reminder.
A certain point, the voice of God says, you know, Yellow Wizard is about to die.
Uh-huh.
Blue Valkyrie needs food badly.
Okay.
You me... shot a food.
Wait.
Thanks,
that sounds
sir.
Bad.
I know what I did. I'm playing the game.
This is a perennial favorite that feels like it's a natural segue. Three foods that in this life are not great for you, but in this alternate universe are actually almost like vitamins, like something that's bad for you.
You
can't
should
have all
be
the time.
Eating this.
In this world, snap of the fingers, it appears, and you can have it in perpetuity with no harm to yourself. It could be as simple as a slice of pizza, mm-hmm. or it could be as specific as like, oh, this cookie my grandma used to make, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, all right. A delicious Reuben sandwich.
Great.
For a while I was on the quest, I would get a Reuben anywhere that had mm-hmm, one just mm-hmm. to see. I've had some good Reuben. I've had some bad ones too. A pizza of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
I just love pizza.
It's perfect food.
And then this is very specific. The best meal I've ever had is shrimp and grits at Husk in South Carolina.
That sounds great.
I would normally never get that.
Yeah.
And it was just when in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good. That mm-hmm. restaurant is unbelievable.
Husk. Okay. Great.
H-U-S-K. Husk.
Okay.
I think there's one in Nashville, too.
That's where corn comes from. Out of. Fantastic. Okay. Next category is three bands that you wish that you could be a guest musician with.
Oh,
living easy. Or dead, old, new, whatever.
So this is just based on the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the music.
Yeah.
But I watched that Eagles documentary.
Mm-hmm.
There would be no more fun band to be in than
Great.
That band.
Great.
I don't know why. I don't particularly like the Eagles. I don't not like them.
Yeah. I felt like that about certain band documentaries where I've been like, God, I love them now. Janet, are you listening to their music? Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't listen to their music.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm not more into the Eagles. There's so much of it that has like country elements, but it's still in the rock world. Maybe that's why.
Yeah. Because
it's like splitting. Mm-hmm. It's not rock enough. It's not country enough.
I think you might have just hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah. But I still think they were certainly super popular. That documentary is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like 1974 mm-hmm. Eagles. Is that right? Somewhere in there. The mm-hmm. 70s, the Eagles. Come
okay,
on.
Great.
God, that's a hard. Now it's hard. I said it was easy, and it's really not easy. I think it'd be fun to be in like a hip hop band.
Sure,
but who would that be? I'm really taking my time.
That's all right. It's a process.
I would like to be in Kanye's band.
Great, 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 great.
Because that just again. It's like the music would be primary, but the secondary would be right there with with all of the shit that's going on.
Yeah.
And then I'd have to be in Elvis Costello's band.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
What a great, vibrant variety you've put.
God, now I feel bad about the Eagles.
No. I think you're dead on. That's like that you want to be in that world.
I guess like the runner-up that didn't make the list is some like just like shit-kicking roadhouse country band.
Yeah.
That just would be really fun. Like a bar. Like a good... Like, do you know Graham Parsons at all?
Yeah.
I read his biography, and when back in the days when he was like playing in these like blue collar LA country clubs, yeah, just like for fun.
Yeah.
And it's like, you might get murdered, sir.
Oh, yeah.
That seems cool.
Which, by the way, just blue collar country club in LA feels like.
How can that be?
How niche.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, if you feel like you need to flip any of those out, I get it, but
no, nah, let's leave.
You really knew that you don't think you need to back off the Eagles. Now when I just said, oh, that's like a world you want to pop into, it reminded me of another one of my favorite categories, three films that you can jump into and just live in, as if it's just like a world. It's not the movie. It's not the plot. It's not, you're one of the characters. You're just in there with all those people living that life in some way.
Okay. Number one, I would live as me right now. I would be on the big cruise ship in Wally because I would be the most in shape person around. Everybody would be like, who's that guy?
Yeah.
Look at him.
Is that Adonis?
And I'd be like, I'll have another Reuben sandwich, please. But I'm only going to eat half. So that's one.
Great.
God, you really got me. I don't want to live in a lot of the movies I like.
I get you.
Like, I love the Star Wars movies, but I don't want to live in those worlds.
Could be dangerous.
Think, right?
No harm will come to you in this version.
Oh, so it's all good?
Yeah, it could be you could just be like, listen, I want to hang out with the Ewoks. I'm not going to live, you know, that's this one specific. I know you're not going to pick the Ewoks. I, as a girl, would pick the Ewoks.
I actually really like Return of the Jedi. It's probably...
Yeah, me too.
God help
me. It came
me.
Out at the right age for it, me,
that's
too.
That's all where, it was
yeah,
for me.
Yeah.
I think Empire's fantastic. Yeah. And then I remember, I only went to like 10 movies before I was 16 years old.
Yeah.
We watched public television and hockey. We didn't watch, like, I've never seen a lot of TV from that era because we just didn't watch it.
Yeah.
Let's then go with, if no harm is coming to me.
No harm.
I want to live in like a crazy... Like, I want to live in Nakatomi Plaza.
Oh, yeah. Let's get Die Hard in here.
Like, do I get to have fun in there?
Yeah.
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 All right.
You get to, like, pop in. You can just, like, pop in and, like, watch John get his feet cut up and be like, buddy, oh, you're really handling this well.
I would just be down in the limo listening to tapes.
There you go. There you go.
And then at the last minute, oh, you need a little help?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then... I'm just blanking all the way out.
I know. Listen, just think of it as an improv. We're just doing improv.
Yeah. Then I would just be in Shawshank Prison.
Oh, great. God, it's so good, though.
Again, it's like, well, I'm not, no harm's coming to me.
Yeah, I know. I would, there's a lot of characters in there. It'd be really fun to hang around.
As I'm saying it, I'm realizing what a bad pick it is.
No, everyone loves Shawshank.
I can stay or leave.
In the movie. Like, I would go in there just to visit Brooks and that bird.
Yeah.
While I still could.
Right.
Maybe I'd go in there and make sure he didn't hurt himself. Maybe I'd take him out of that. Maybe I'd be like, you know what, buddy? The rest of your life's on me. Come live in my... come jump over into this other movie with me. Yeah.
You don't have to bag groceries.
And we'll hang out in Cocoon, for example. And then you're just in a community of wonderful old people.
Yeah.
Who are all adjusting to their new eternal alien lives.
They need friends.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bring the bird.
Yes.
So... I think it's great. Okay, second to last category is three modes of transportation that can be as absurd or as down to earth as you want, but you're not just getting in a car and driving when you go someplace.
Teleportation.
Amazing.
Capsule.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it has to be a capsule.
I mean, I feel like if you're teleporting, you probably don't even have time to get into a capsule.
Yeah. That's probably... Wait.
Oh, well, I guess you're saying it's like
It's the means to teleportation.
Okay. Like you gotta go in. Just like you don't snap your fingers. You have to still go to...
No, I like...
Ports.
I got to carry this dumb capsule around.
Is that a hat box? No.
No, this is my teleportation capsule.
I see.
I got a discount. It really, very economical. Just, it's a pain in the ass to carry it around. Probably like a warbird.
What does that mean? Like a,
just some like weird bird creature with a saddle on it.
Sure.
Like a retired warbird.
Okay.
Like the bird is not, it was designed to carry warriors into battle.
Yeah.
Much in the way that like a German shepherd will be retired from the police force.
Sure. Or like, you know, you're giving a greyhound a nice home after it's,
yeah,
with its PTSD.
So I would have just like a friendly
warbird.
Bird who's seen some shit, yeah, but he's all right.
It's great.
He needs a second. He needs a second career.
That's right.
Yeah. And then I just want to get places fast.
Understood.
Like a, like jumper shoes.
I love it.
So like I just put them on. That's really the same as teleport. I've just improved teleportation.
Great. It's great. No, I disagree, because with teleportation you are there in a split second. With your jumper shoes,
Jumping.
Yeah.
But it's jumping. Like if I want to go to New York.
But you're like, boing.
Yeah.
But you still have the experience of being like, like you see from high above in a split second.
It's going to take me a really long time to get places, though.
No, it's a quick.
Floating in real time. Very quick. My skin is melting off from how fast I'm going. I have not thought a lot of these through.
You are keeping those jumper shoes, and God help me if you don't get them when I do this process of elimination. I'm going to be so disappointed, although I will be happy if you get the warbird or the capsule, if I'm really honest. Okay, final category is three. Okay, this is really pushing the limits of your improv skills, so I apologize in advance.
Do it.
Three groups that you form that are informing the public about something, a la the SOSs, but it can be like a really trivial thing. But three groups that like you would take out and be like, hey, everybody, we're the blah, blah, blahs. We're going to teach you about such and such.
Got it.
Like lessons you're teaching or something.
Okay. The first one would be over the top toilet paper roll group. I don't have a good name for them, but they're just going to tell you and show you that over the top is the way to go.
Okay. Great.
I would also have...
Well, why over the top? Do you mean just like very cushiony and expensive?
No, I mean
over the top.
The paper comes from over the top, not
God.
Under the bottom.
Yes. Yes. So important.
I just feel like it makes the most sense.
Yeah.
And I would try to show the world.
Through...
Though it ultimately, it does not matter to me. I do think in places that I live, that's how I am going to do it, because it does make sense.
It's great.
You might get an exception if you own a cat, because apparently cats will pull on. Though I've owned cats, and they don't
get at it either way. It's not like you get screeches to a halt.
It's a bad. It's a bad rationale for I have to do it the other way.
You care too much about your cat.
I would try to get people to be more open-minded about music that they don't think they like.
Okay. All right. Ugh. What I wrote down for myself is far worse than anything you could come up with. I wrote music mind openers.
That's what we'd be called. Music mind openers. And then the final group would be a group that rescues and rehabilitates otters.
Oh, from what?
That is a real thing. Lives?
That's my favorite animal.
I love I love them too. We probably have to talk otters later on. Ugh. But yeah, that helps. Like otter help.
Yeah, otter help.
Otter helpers.
Yeah,
we otter help we them. Nope.
Oh yeah.
Forget I said
that.
Oh
yeah. Oh yeah. No. Oh no. Okay. This is the last portion before I determine your 100% guaranteed fictional mash future. Okay. Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay. Listen, let's get it done. I'm going to pause this. Do some eliminating. When we come back, I will reveal all the answers. I want to reassure the listener it will seem to you as if no time has passed. Well, I forgot that the mansion, apartment, shack, house, of course, is the built-in series of categories for MASH. And I didn't ask you for a place where you would have a vacation home. And I think that where that puts us is that wherever your movie is that you can jump into is maybe also where your vacation mansion, apartment, shack, or house is.
Maybe I'm a weird transient dude getting around on a pair of jumper shoes.
I mean, first of all, you're not.
Okay, great.
You went ahead and purchased that teleportation capsule you had your eye on.
Those late night eBay binges.
If it gets the job done, I think that's super impressive. And that actually makes sense because I don't know how else you're going to as effectively get in and out of your apartment at Shawshank Prison. Otherwise, you're going to have a slew of people. Like if you had the Warbird, you'd have like so many hangers on of
prisoners
who would be just jumping on like, save me too.
Yeah, yeah.
This way, you just pop into your capsule and get out of there.
I probably have to build like a very realistic dummy of myself.
Yeah.
If I'm in a cell to just be like, oh, I'm still in here.
Yeah. Well, it's an apartment, so I'm not
sure. Oh, I have an apartment in...
Mm-hmm, in the prison. So you're loathed by all the prisoners.
Maybe it's
a beautiful
like,
apartment.
You know how like... LA has the toy factory lofts and the biscuit factory
lofts.
You got
a little loft above
maybe there's
the prison.
Like a, but maybe like Shawshank now is like a reclaimed
this I like
building that they've there's just a bunch
I
of people
like.
Doing like artisanal
it's
carpentry
beautiful
in there.
Space. It's a beautiful space. It's a perfect space
I
for
do my
you.
Photos.
Well, I know that that's where the over the top paper roll group that you found rehearses. So
we do need a large rehearsal space.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and you're going to be able to touch a lot of people's hearts with that. So well done, you. I also really enjoyed your work in the Eagles. I know that
your
time traveling ability to be a part of the Eagles in the 70s is much probably brings you a lot of joy. And that probably relates somehow to your having a little bit more of the guitar having even more of a role in your life because not only did you tell off that counselor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're like, you know what? Maybe I'll go build guitars.
Yeah.
But you also are the house pedal guitarist at the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, my goodness.
In addition to being to playing with the Eagles. I almost said the Beagles.
Hey, we're the Beagles. People say we beagle around.
You're really actually getting me pretty interested in that. I'm very sad that you didn't get the auto rehabilitation, so we'll have to do that in real life. And then I want you to feel very free to enjoy as many Rubens as you can get your hands on.
I'm happy about that
one. Infinite with your alternate universe companion, Shirley Jones. Music Man era.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know if that means that you, that's not your baby, but you're just with a pregnant woman, but.
Oh. Good night, my someone.
My someones. Mark McConville, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Jennifer, thank you very much.
I was channeling Paul F. Tompkins, I think, when I said that.
Easy to do.
How much fun do we have on that show? And anytime we do something together, you are a joy to behold.
Thank you.
Tell people where they can find you.
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Mark McConville.
Mark McConville, guys.
Matt Gourley and I do Pistol Shrimps Radio.
Correct.
That's probably the most current thing I'm in the
and
middle
hilarious
of.
Hilarious and a blast.
Yeah.
Documentary. And
the documentary will be on
regular
CISO.
Commentary. CISO's wonderful.
So you can watch it on your little app viewing device.
That's right.
Your app capsule?
Your app capsule.
To be,
everybody's got one. Well, guys, thank you so much for enjoying Boys of Summer. There's just one more piece of business that we have to take care of to mark the very end of this podcast episode, which is I need to put you on the spot. And apropos of the Eagles, even though this was post his Eagles career, I need to ask you to sing whatever snippet of Don Henley's Boys of Summer comes into your mind.
It's probably going to be. Out on the road today, I saw a deadhead sticker on a Cadillac. Little voice inside my head said, don't look back. You can never look back.
Thought I knew
what love was. What did I know?
Those days are gone forever.
I should just let them go.
As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.